Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it? What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals? We're back.
We are back.
Down Justin.
Yeah. Justin's he's out of the state, I think. I think Justin's out visiting a friend. I am happy, though, that we're together. As we always say, show still has to go on. We still got to get some work done. And that work is the work that God's put in our plate here. And that's diving further into his word. We're going to continue on this Genesis train right now. And we are on to Genesis 6, which is one of the main chapters in the Bible where a lot of people who visit the fringy space like to start at, and I'm no different than any of those other people. Sometimes a church likes to skip over this, or we hear a couple of different views, but we'll kind of touch on those as we start jumping through. But Ben, you want to pray for us?
Sure. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this cold but beautiful weather we've been having. Steven don't like it, but I like it. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for the guidance and the discernment you give us, Lord. And thank you for everything, and be with our country and be with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Absolutely love it. Well, like I said, we're going to jump into Genesis 6. We're going to keep on rolling this Genesis train as we've been going. And, you know, it's an important book. We're looking back at the beginning of time as far as creation goes. And, you know, it sets a lot of foundations and a lot of reasons for the way the world is today, the way that we have sin came into the world, and the way the way that the world is today. I don't know how else to say that. But before we get sidetracked at all, I'm going to jump into chapter 6, and we'll read through it, and then we are going to kind of pick some of these things apart. We don't want to beat a dead horse. We've gone over this quite a bit, but we want to make sure that we are. If anybody hasn't listened to some of our other studies, like the book of Enoch, or some of the other Genesis 6 narratives that we've discussed, I highly recommend to go back and watch some of those other episodes. But this right here is, you know, this is our canon. This is what we believe. So I want to dig into this, and then we'll give some background, and we'll break it down. Genesis 6. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women, and they took any of that they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth, for whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. The Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person on earth at the time. He walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I am about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. And that is chapter 6. So, just to give everybody a heads up, I am reading out of the NLT. It's an easy version to read. A lot of times I like studying out of the ESV. To be honest, I read a lot of different translations because I like to see how they line up. I'll read the King James, the New King James. I like to put all these things together, the Christian Standard, and just kind of see how they all shake out. And look at this. So I'm going to refer back to some of the ESV things as well, which I think is just important at certain times, just to make sure we're looking at translations and things of that nature. But I like to read out of the NLT because I think it's very easy to listen to.
It flows better.
It flows in our language, obviously. But if we talk about Genesis 6, and we've talked about, you know, the Genesis 6:4 about the giant Nephilites that lived on earth in those days, but they were the result of when it says the sons of God saw that the women were beautiful, and they took any of them that they wanted as their wives. Now, the theory on this, which has been put forth by a lot of different churches and certain scholars too, would be that when it says the sons of God, the godly sons of Seth and the evil daughters of Cain, so we have this corruption, they say, from that, but it just doesn't follow what the Bible says. It doesn't say this. So when we start getting into these supernatural things, these weird things that we see when we're reading through the Bible.
Well, why would you have giants?
Well, that's exactly
through
it.
That, you know, humans and humans having relations. You wouldn't really have, I don't think, you wouldn't end up with giants.
Well, this is where I'm going to jump into something and see where, when it says the sons of God, we're specifically talking about angelic beings. And that there's absolutely no doubt about that. Because if you look, go to, and this is Job. I'm going to read a section in Job. And it's Job 38:4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So they were there, the sons of God, when the foundation of the earth was put in place. Sons of God are in the presence of the Lord, you know, with Satan at this point. This is very much like the Deuteronomy 32:8. It says when the nations were divided among the sons of God, you know, we see
right.
This very directly. The sons of God are angelic beings. These are ones that came down. They lusted after what men had.
That wasn't appointed to them.
That wasn't appointed. That's an excellent point.
Right.
They wanted what they couldn't have.
Yeah, they weren't meant to have wives. And at that time, I wonder if all angels are male. I mean, I don't know, but all the ones that are listed have male names. I would assume they might be, but
so my thought on that, and this is a little rabbit trail,
Yeah.
But my thought on that is if you go into the lowercase g gods of the older pantheons, you see gods like Inanna, who were able to change their gender to meet a set intercourse need, let's say
right.
that. So you would have Inanna would be she'd be represented as a woman seducing men at some point, then they'd show her with a beard in a bar as a man. So we would have these, and these are fallen angelic beings that we believe as these lowercase g gods. So you see that this is presented that way on the evil side where they change their gender.
And I guess that could be still be plausible because they can be seen and not seen, mm-hmm. you know. And what is it? Later on in Genesis, I think, with Lot and all them, they, you know, I guess they looked kind of human, but maybe not completely.
There was something about them that made them know.
Yeah, so, it you know, it just could be, you just, it's one of those you don't know.
Yeah, well, you don't know. But I think that's an interesting thing when we talk about it, because you could go down that track further, the ideas of the incubus and succubus type thing, where you have a demonic being that is an incubus is a male demonic being that forces himself upon a woman, and a succubus is a woman demonic being that forces itself upon a man. And so whether, you know, if we believe the book of Enoch, we can say demons are the souls of the Nephilim that are left here on earth. So male, female, I don't know how that works in the demonic
realm.
Yeah,
that's kind of hard to
say for sure. But they definitely lusted after what we had here on earth. And we know that they were angelic beings. The Bible shows that. And the result of them were the Nephilites. And when we talk about the Exodus, when they go into the land of Canaan, you know, Joshua, Caleb, and the other 10 spies, they go and see, hey, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're
right.
tiny
oh,
compared
yeah.
to them. The Anakim live there. You see there is, I mean, there's truly a fear of these giants. So Goliath and his brothers, you know, you can go down that track and see that there is truly, there was a differentiation between these half-angelic beings, demigods, which is where I believe a lot of that stuff comes from in Greek culture.
Oh,
when we talk about Hercules.
Yep, I definitely think that's where them stories come from.
Oh, it's I think all that myth is based in some reality, even though it's been taken to a different level.
Well, it's, I mean, we're before Babel, so we're before all the languages have been changed, so therefore every what we would call language / country, just for say, you know, because Russians speak Russia, you know, they speak Russian, you know, all these different, you know, Asia, they have a bunch of different languages over there.
At this time, they all spoke the same
language. Right, so they have the same general story. Just like in all of the major, they say all of the major religion-ish sacks of different things, they all have a flood story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got Zeus and you've got Thor and you've got, you know, all these different kind of close but little off, you know, but kind of the same roles. So,
yeah,
it's just this, as we've said before, it's just the same story being told in a different language. And then throughout the years and generations and what, you know, hundreds, thousands of years, the story's been, it's like the telephone game.
It's exactly
been manipulated a little here, a little there. Oh, it'd be cooler if, you know, whatever. And then.
So think about it like this even more. So it's, and some of that could have been, you know, it's embellished on and things.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that for
yeah.
sure. But if you think about Babel happens, all the languages disperse, and, you know, we'll get to that, you know, eventually here as we're going through Genesis.
Right.
But the languages disperse. They all have the same story, but the languages disperse. Now we have verbal, we have language, because other sects of people speak similar languages, but they're all divided now, and they all move out all over the earth. However, written language would come later. You're
oh,
not
yeah.
going to instantly
yeah.
have that. So you have the verbal telephone game for a period of time, and then this, you know, this culture may get written language at this time, and then a little bit later, this culture got written language at this time. But they're half written language would have come after that.
Right.
So then those stories had more time to mutate before
right.
you had a set in. I'm sorry. A set in stone story with the
right
with
where
the
you
language.
have it written down
yes.
so it won't change as often because you have it the actual words.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Easier to hand down that
right.
way. So I think that's a really solid point. We do see that, like I said, the I think it's cool because it says very specifically there that the Nephilites lived on the earth at that time, and it says that they became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient time. What do we think about? We think of Thor. We think of Hercules. We think of these Diana, right? Wonder Woman. All
yeah.
the ones that we glorify in our culture today in the Avengers movies
right.
and all this
oh,
other
yeah.
stuff. It's all demigods.
And it's I always thought like Thor and Hercules was the same character in a sense because they had that over... Which I guess Thor had his hammer that gave him the strength or whatever, but
well, mutations.
You know,
of stories
it was
over
just
time.
The well, yeah, two different cultures altogether, where the stories come from. But definitely, it's there. You can see it.
Oh yeah.
So
100%, and it's funny how we're maybe not realizing how much we're deifying these same
oh,
beings
yeah.
again
yeah.
but through these movies.
You're glorifying
and
them, and
glorifying
you got kids
them.
Wanting to dress up like them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's hard to do, you know. Watching the Marvel movies, I was a Thor guy. You know, he's nothing can hurt him, mm-hmm. you know. But you just got to be like, yeah, okay, it's just a movie. It's
yeah.
not real. It's telling the boys all the time, hey, Dad, would it be cool if, you know, they're big into Transformers right now. Mm-hmm. Would it be cool if, da, 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 I said, buddy, if Optimus Prime become our president, I'm like, buddy, it's a movie. It's not real.
100%. Yeah, that would be cool, though. I'm sorry. That'd be cool. If all of a sudden your Jeep just stood up like.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Don't have to worry about getting stuck in that mud hole.
Nope. I'm just going to walk out of this
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Can't get up there with the four wheels. Let's just walk.
Going down further, we see that it said the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on earth. He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. If we go down further... It says, yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Now, let's think about this. He's saying he's sorry he made the people, but he's also saying he's sorry he made those animals. Now, when we go down a little bit further, it talks about that Noah... was the only blameless person living on earth. He was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time. Back in the Hebrew, that word is tamim. And that tamim meant to be without blemish. It's the same word they used for the sacrificial lamb, sacrificial goats, whatever they had, what they were going to sacrifice, had to be perfect. It was pure-blooded.
Right.
So when we see, this lends more credence back to the book of Jasher, back to the book of Enoch, back to the book of Giants, where it talks about the fact that those angels that came down and took human women, it also says that they sinned with animals.
Yeah.
There was a crossbreeding of different things. They messed with the genetic makeup of animals. God here is saying, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals, and the small animals that scurry across the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. But if you go back to Genesis, when he created them, he saw they were good.
Right.
Something changed.
Right. I wonder if this is where the dinosaurs come from. You have the giant, you know, they're giants. So you have the DNA, we'll say, to make humans larger. So if they started doing foul things to animals, which become larger,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it mentions the animals that's on the ground, and it also mentions animals in the air, which would be like your pterodactyl and stuff like that, you know, which I'm obviously just, you know, putting my thoughts out there,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, you know, because same with the flood, you see a lot of the different cultures having dragons, in which obviously Revelation, you know, talks about the big dragon and all this kind of different things. And so I think I have two different theories on the dragons, but they obviously were real. It's not just make-believe, because you have, at the time of the cave paintings that they would do, the cultures that had the paintings would have not met. Like, it wasn't like, you know, this culture interacted with this culture and they told a story and then they went and drew that cave painting, you know, in their cave to continue telling the story, what they heard, blah, blah, blah. But it's either the dragons were kind of like the dinosaurs in my assumption, or which you always see in like these King Arthur movies and stuff like that, where, you know, they have a nuisance dragon and everybody's scared of it. And then the king, you know, puts up, you can have my daughter if you go kill this dragon. So all the knights, you know, oh, she's pretty, I'll be in the kingship, kind, you know, be in the royalty family. So they all just kill them out. But I think it's more of, but then it's also, I'll give you my daughter. The same as they come down and take the daughters. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of interesting if you, you know, just kind of mill it around in your head a little bit. But, and then, which we talk about, when we went through the Book of Enoch, it talked about, it was almost as if they traded knowledge, fathers or brothers or whatever, traded knowledge or traded their sisters for the knowledge of the angels as they come down. Because, you know, we warfare, iron working, you know, makeup stuff, blah, 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 goes on and on. That's where all this come from. So the Book of Enoch says.
I mean, that's... Now, I'm going to jump back a little bit. I'm going to back it up a little bit. But
back,
I'm going to say,
up.
Like the Revelation, we say Revelation dragon. That's obviously more of a...
Well, it still uses the word
thing.
Of dragon,
it does,
is what I'm getting
yeah,
at.
But if you go to Job, very specifically,
Leviathan,
it talks about Leviathan and Behemoth. And to me, those are real creatures in here. Some people will say those are representations of something. However, before it goes through and talks about ostriches and all these other animals and different
right.
things, and then it goes right into them. Look at what God created with you. Look at Behemoth.
And
talks about how, and it drives me nuts when you read the Bible in it, and it says right there, it says, he had a tail like a cedar. And then it'll tell you in the comments below, possibly an elephant or a hippopotamus. Have you ever seen a tail on that?
Yeah, they're tiny.
They're like my arm.
Yeah.
That ain't a cedar.
No.
That drives me nuts. It just drives me nuts that people, even people that are translating this, struggle with the fact that they could say this is a dinosaur, this is a
dragon. Well, I mean, we obviously know dinosaurs were real due to fossils.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I'm obviously a new creature,
young earth
person. But at the same time, it could be talking about the, I forget the names, but the long-necked dinosaurs.
Sauropods.
And then that would be Behemoth, I guess. And mm-hmm. wasn't Leviathan in the water?
It was in the water, but it was
so
breathing
it would,
fire. It
right.
Was, it was,
but it, well, dragon's breath
that's exactly
breathe fire.
It. That's exactly
so it. You're looking at bone structure. You don't know what they could have done, but that big dinosaur, it kind of looks like the whatever you just said, the theropods or whatever.
The sauropod, yeah.
Yeah, like, but the ones that they have that they think had fins.
Like a plesiosaur.
Yeah, something like that would be Leviathan. I mean, just, you know, brainstorming.
No, you're right.
And then, which I watched the whole thing on dragons and the fire and what they think, but that's for another time. It's pretty cool, though.
But I do agree with you on some. So a part of this would be, do I believe, obviously I believe dinosaurs, you know, I mean, they weren't called that until the 1800s, but you know, dinosaurs, whatever, what we call dinosaurs back then, they call dragons, they call all sorts
of
things. Oh, yeah,
that could have been.
It was just another animal.
Right.
Right? But I would say that in the Garden of Eden, I don't see much, I don't understand how a T-Rex is sitting there just eating apples. It just doesn't, the way the body is and the way that these, you know, 6-inch razor sharp teeth and it's like 30 foot tall and it doesn't make sense to me that that's in the Garden of Eden. It makes more sense to me that that's a result of the fall of, and that's a result of sin. And if, like you said, angelic beings crossed over and caused certain things, I think certain dinosaurs would have been wiped out with the flood because they were genetic abominations.
Right. However, so they wasn't put on the ark.
But yeah, but other ones, there's a painting from the 1500s that shows people in a, an army moving across this plain, and they're, and I'd have to look up this painting and give you the actual name, but this, they're sitting on sauropod dinosaurs. They're riding on them. It's a painting from the 1500s. If you go to the temple in Angkor Wat, there's actually a depiction on one of the stone pillars of a stegosaurus. Hmm. It's there. It's got the exact, and this is, how would these people know if these things weren't around?
True.
They wouldn't have had a clue. So they were there. And I would say, you know, when people talk about it with the flood and things of that nature, I would say that they brought these things on as juveniles.
No, I got a bit. I watched the guy on YouTube. Yeah, well, he's like an archaeologist, yeah. Noah creationist kind of guy. And he's being a lady's asking him questions. What do they say all dinosaurs come from? How was their babies? They were eggs. All I had to do was store eggs on the ark. They wouldn't even have to feed them.
I mean, you could do that.
You know, but all the large animals, they don't have to be adult animals.
That's what
they can be. Yeah.
That's what I think. I mean, it doesn't. I mean,
and then you would have room for everything. You know, everybody's like, well, there's no way this story is true. You can't fit all a pair of every animal on a 450-foot by 75-foot.
This is what people struggle with, right? When we talk
ship,
about that,
you know,
is if you have, for example, we could talk about the sauropod dinosaurs. There's a whole bunch of different types of sauropod dinosaurs.
Well, just like dogs.
Just like dogs. That's exactly what I was getting to.
You had a pair of canines, and that was it.
And then, you know what happens? Over time, adaptation, or you breed two that have the same certain trait.
Yeah.
Like one's a little smaller, so we're going to breed these two smaller ones together, and we get a smaller, and we keep going smaller because then we get a Chihuahua.
Yeah.
And then we breed the bigger ones, and all of a sudden we got a Great Dane. And it's the same thing with those dinosaurs. Could have over time, they adapt to the situation. Plus, afterwards, they wouldn't have grown as big because the atmosphere changes too post-flood.
Right. Just as humans didn't live as long.
Mm-hmm.
And so also with that, it's, and the perfect reasoning behind the adaptation part is how many long-haired black dogs do you see at the equator? You don't. Because they'd be too hot. They'd burn up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same with the human race. You know, you have more darker skinned, you know, more melanin in your skin along the equators. And as you get further to the poles, the less melanin. And it's almost just the humans ourselves have adapted. You know,
100% we have.
You know,
and we all come from a common ancestor.
Yeah,
I mean, we all come from Adam and Eve. Actually, we all come from Noah and his family.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, pale white dude up in living in the igloo. You take him out and put him in a bathing suit on the equator. He's gonna roast.
That's me, buddy. That's me. I actually belong more in the not because I like the cold, but I'm more, if that's all true, I'm more of an Arctic kind of guy, like Arctic Circle.
But you hate the cold.
I hate the cold, but
you're Arctic color, but equator temperature.
Temperature, yes.
Yeah. You're all messed up.
My adaptation ain't working.
But, you know, it's just, and you can see it in everything when it comes to that, you know, that part. So, you know, you had a pair of frogs. You had a pair of, you know, horse. You only had a pair of horses. You didn't need zebras and unicorns and whatever else. It all, you know, they say the stripes on a zebra helps cool them off, where it's black and white. I forget the word, like convection kind of thing, where it draws the air across the body of the horse, due with the heat coming off the black, and then the coolness of the white, the reflection, and, you know, the black soaks into heat where the white reflects the heat, and it creates like a wave, and it actually draws. I mean, that's what I heard. I have not did my experiments.
What you got to do is just keep a straight face when you're telling me. Believe you.
Oh yeah, it's science.
Science.
It's science. Trust believe the science. All of it, even the made up science. Trust it all.
Disclaimer: We do not.
Disclaimer: yeah, we're not scientists.
We're not scientists. Oh. Well, I guess going a little bit further. And this is the only thing I'd say, I guess, to the egg theory is it says, I mean, very specifically, it says that it brings a pair of every kind of animal, male and female.
Well, you wouldn't really know it with eggs, though.
And that's what I mean. And then it says, how does it say it in here? Pairs of every kind of animal, every kind of small animal screws across the ground will come to you and be kept alive.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it was more juvenile type things.
They didn't go find it.
Things.
They were sent. And then it also, in some translations, it says that God himself shut the door of the ark to lock them in, which I don't know if it mentions more of this later.
We'll have to get to that part. But the crazy part is, and people think about this, you know, it's Noah and his family. All these people are around him, probably making fun of him as they see
him
doing
yeah.
this. And this is...
Well,
when at the end of chapter 5, it says Noah is 500 years old. When he was 500 years old, he was the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the flood doesn't come until he's 600 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a long time to build this boat. Long time to build this boat.
Well, I mean, just think about the scaffolding you'd have to build and to figure out how, because no one's probably ever built a boat yet.
No, but I would bet you that their craftsmanship and their knowledge and their skill set was what we are.
For sure.
I mean, I think back then we always think that we've gotten smarter.
They had Nephilim knowledge.
Well, they could have.
Or fallen angel knowledge.
But they could. But the thing is, we think about it, and we people as a whole like to think that we're so much more sophisticated and advanced as people were back then. No, we're actually.
Go
if
build
there's
a
such
house.
A thing as evolution, we're de-evolutionizing, whatever you want to say, devolving.
Yeah, go build a house.
Yeah, you can't.
You didn't hire people to build a house in the 1800s. Mm-mm. I mean, look at all these people just venturing out west and venturing across the Appalachian Mountains. They built their own houses when they got there. The men and the women built. It wasn't a man and his wife and his pregnant wife or a new baby, let's go find us some land and we'll contract a house getting built and we'll go over here and get some concrete. They knew how to do all of that.
And I would bet you, I would think that, you know, they have obviously God's blessing and he's not going to put a task that's impossible in front of them.
Well, of course not.
So, but you see, and I think it's really important that you see at the very end of this, and this is the great lesson, right? Noah did everything exactly as God has commanded him.
That's the key thing.
It is. That's the.
If you do what he says, it's gonna work out.
That's, you know, whenever I try to, I try to say this and tell people, you know, we talk about the context of the Bible and how important it is. Because, you know, everybody likes to take a book and say, man, this book is, they try to apply it specifically right to their life every time, everything in there. And you're like, the book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. It's not written to you. The thing is, we're supposed to take things from it. It's got knowledge and apply it,
right.
But it's not written directly to you. But if you don't understand what was going on in Ephesus, you don't know what Paul was going through, what was happening in Ephesus at that time.
You don't understand the circumstances completely.
You don't have the full context, so you're missing part of the story.
Yep.
So I think that's what's really important. When we look at this and we go through and see, context is so important, but when you take something from this, and you see, Noah did everything as God had commanded him. So God keeps him safe, helps him through all these things, helps him to the point where they are the ones to repopulate the earth because he was faithful in what God told him to do. God could have very easily said, you know what? It said that Noah found favor with the Lord, but everything else was corrupt and everything else was terrible. God could have just said, forget all of you.
Oh, yeah. He could have just started over completely.
But he did not choose to do that.
Nope.
So Noah being faithful is why you're sitting there listening to this today.
That's it.
So I think that's a good lesson. We always need to continue to be faithful in what God says and what God tells us to do. And you always got to, you know, get into that word. You always got to
keep digging.